Hello there, welcome to RTE Soccer Social. I'm joined in studio by Richie and Didi. If you were watching the Chelsea Champions League game on RTE or active or on social, you may have seen a poll we were running on the RTE Soccer Twitter account. It asked, who should Mick McCarthy start up front for the Republic of Ireland against Slovakia in the Euro 2020 playoff? Your results were, here they are, 61% went for Shane Long, 25% chose David McGoldrick, 11% wanted Aaron Connolly, with 3% going for other options. There were various suggestions here, including Fergal Lynch, who asked whether we should bring Gary Doherty out of retirement. Remember him. And Leishman, who's called for Tony Cascarino to come back in. Callum Robinson was also suggested by some. I think he was in goal-scoring form as well. Richie, Gary Doherty, you would have played with Gary Doherty.
I don't think things are that bad that we need to bring Gary back.
You get a kick out of getting mentioned in it, I know. And he did score some important goals for Brian Kerr in the past, but maybe we're pushing it.
A long, long time ago. I think the Shane Long situation is intriguing because for whatever reason Mick at the start of the season omitted him altogether from the squad, and you could there's a debate to be had as to whether he's good enough to start, whether he's reliable enough in front of goal, whether he's consistent enough. That's whether or not to start him or not, but to actually remove him from the squad I think was a big statement from Mick of something, and he hasn't brought him in the squad in a long time, so I think it'd be a huge call now for Mick to not only bring him in the squad, but to start him. I think McGoldrick plays. Mick is the type of manager that if you've done well for him and you're fit and available, he's going to go with it, particularly in a game of this importance. He said as much publicly. He was asked several times about, is he going to bring in the young lads, Adam Ida, Troy Parrott? He said, no, not for playoffs.
Okay.
I know my team.
Yeah. I suppose, Didi, from the outside looking in, and you've covered many Ireland matches with us over the years and in this campaign as well, but the decision to have Shane Long out, you can see he's the public's choice this evening, 60-odd% say put him in the team, never mind have him in the squad. Are you surprised he's in goal-scoring form, that he's not in the mix?
Well, if you look at the options, I think everybody or most people were surprised that he's not closer to the first team than he actually is. In the past, Mick McCarthy was always somebody who trusted his players and was reluctant to change his mind. So I think he should be in and around the team. He should certainly be in Slovakia in March. Whether he's going to start, I'm not too sure. McGoldrick, I think, done ever so well for the team. I think he did well against Denmark in the last game. Connolly, you know, I ruled the other one out. Connolly showed that he's got a short fuse. You know, he showed a bit of an attitude in the games he's played. So I think in a game that might turn out to be pretty heated, I don't think he'll be a good choice. So I think it'll be between the first two. And as Shane Long hasn't been in and around the team for a while, I fully expect McGoldrick to be the centre-forward on the day. But I would like to see Shane Long on the bench at least.
OK, well, all will be revealed in due course. We're going to go back to Stamford Bridge now, and we'll get some reaction, of course. If you were with us earlier on, you will have seen Bayern Munich beat Chelsea by 3-0 in the first leg of their round of 16 tie. Tony O'Donoghue is with Bayern defender Alfonso Davis.
Alfonso, congratulations on the result. Does that put the tie beyond doubt, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the team played well. I mean, the first half, you know, we're trying to figure out how we can break them down, and we figured it out in the second half. So we're happy we got the win.
What a season it's been, especially in the Champions League.
Yeah, it's been good. I'm just, you know, trying to implement what I know in training, you know, what I know from the guys on the pitch. So Champions League, you know, Bundesliga, all the same football. I think we just want to win every game we play.
Some would say that that was an even better performance than the 7-2 against Tottenham.
Yeah. I mean, round of 16, you know, you just got to play smart, play clinical. And I think that's what we did today.
Your assist for Lewandowski's goal, tell me about it.
Yeah, I saw Coutinho, obviously, was on the pitch. I played a 1-2 with him, you know, because he had no option to go. The only option he had to go back, so I tried to play a 1-2 with him. Obviously, the ball got scrambled and it got loose, and I just jumped on it. I tried to beat my defender. So once I was in the box, I knew the defender had to make a decision, either step to me or, you know, defend. So I saw Lewandowski making the run back post, so I just tried to pass it.
He always makes those runs, doesn't he?
Always makes those runs, yeah.
You've really settled into the side. Have you found it easy?
I mean, a little bit. Knowing I have players around me that can, you know, give me advice, you know, constantly. So, you know, it's not easy to play left back, but I'm enjoying the position.
It could be a very special year for Bayern Munich.
Yeah, we're trying to, you know, obviously every game we play, we try to win. Every tournament we're in, we try to win it. So, from now on, our focus is the next game.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
He's, Didi, an incredible talent. I think we're seeing, you know, the emergence of a new star. He's astonishing.
Yeah, he's a star in the making. I think I said it before. I watched him now for a few months. I think he's the only player who played every minute since Hansi Flick took over the team. And I watched Alaba for a number of years now at Bayern Munich, and I always thought it's very hard to play better than Alaba. Now, this kid only played 15 or 20 games. And I think Alaba would... It would be hard for Alaba to replace him now. That's how good he is, because he gives you so much going forward. Talk about him as a fullback, but, you know, he never hardly makes a mistake going backward, and what he gives you going forward is exceptional. And the other thing is when Tony asked him how easy he found it. Now, when he first came to the club, he didn't go straight into the team. He had a few appearances as a substitute. He played quite a lot of games in the second team for Bayern Munich, which plays in the League One in the third division in Germany. But he accepted it, he did his job, came back to the first team, had a few substitute appearances. And now since Hernandez and Süle got injured, when Alaba was moved into the middle, he got his chance at left-back, and boy, did he grab it.
Yeah, like, Richie, just reading about it, he came from Vancouver Whitecaps. He's been a Canadian, a full senior international, since 2017. And, like, when you watch the guy in action, like, he's like an international sprinter. The pace is really remarkable.
And I think if you were to try and describe the ideal learning environment for him, it would be a setup like Bayern, in that there's a really settled team there, packed full of really senior internationals, hugely experienced, and they're chasing for trophies, and it's an elite level. You compare that to someone like Reece James or one of the youngsters at Chelsea. They're in a team which has a young manager, period of transition, a load of other youngsters, and a very different kind of a setup altogether. So there's a lot of things there going in his favour. His ability and his pace being the most obvious, but on tonight's show, we'll be talking about this fella for years.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, if you're good enough, you're old enough, like, that's, like, he's playing in the last 16 of the Champions League and excelling.
Again, yeah, I mean, it's to convert a winger into a full back, I mean, it's difficult, and you can, as I said earlier, on paper, you can look like somebody who's defensively vulnerable because that's not your obvious position or your natural position, but when you've got such a threat going the other way, and every opponent now knows this, he's not a surprise to anyone. I think people are going to be so... Yeah. Guarded or so wary of getting at him too much, because if you leave any space behind you, he'll punish you.
And having Alaba next to him, having Boateng next to him, obviously helps him, because experienced players can lead you, and they show you where to go, and they correct when you do maybe are in the wrong position. But at the same time, when you go in there as a young kid from Canada, you know, I can't think of any Canadian players who played at a good level or a top level. I think the biggest thing is to understand, to accept and to believe that you're good enough to play there. And some players, it takes them 6 months, some takes 2 years, some takes 5 years. Some of them never believe they're good enough to play there, and they're never going to make it. But he came, he went in there, he got his chance, and he made, from the first game onwards, he made the left-back position his own. Mm. And he chose maybe that American, Canadian way of life to maybe not think about things too much. But it's just refreshing, because he just plays his natural game, and he's got so much ability. And we've seen today the goal, the way he sets it up. He still had a lot to do when he squared that pass. Yeah, it's just a joy to watch. Mm.
Richie, I just want to come back to Chelsea for a moment, you know, because, OK, there'll be a reaction against the team tonight, and Lampard, and, you know, OK, Ziyech is coming in the summer. I'm just thinking a couple of things. Can Lampard use this with the board to be able to say, right, guys, we need some reinforcements here? Or do they just accept that this was always going to be a longer-term plan, that it was always going to take time with those young players? You'll get the inconsistencies that they've had all season, bad home form, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is true. I mean, he said himself tonight, which is stating the obvious, that we know we're underdogs, and no one questions that, and there's a reason we are. He's up against one of the superpowers tonight. So I don't think it would be realistic for them to go into this expecting to win. They would be knowing that if they were to get a result, it would be the standout result of their season. So there'd be realism there. What we don't know is how patient and pragmatic and realistic are they upstairs in Chelsea, whether they're willing to say, yes, we've youngsters, you know, yes, we've had a transfer ban, it's not ideal, but we shouldn't be producing performances like this. We should be higher, we should be further along than we are. And those conversations, we don't know how they're going, but I wouldn't be too bolty if I was Lampard using tonight as a reason to go at the board saying, you need to do more for me. I'd be a bit more sheepish at that.
It's a three-year deal he has signed. You know, I suppose, as you were saying when we were on RT2 earlier on, that, like, OK, get into the Champions League again. Like, that's where Chelsea need to be.
They do. Even if they don't, I expect him to stay there and keep his job. We must not forget, and to his defence, we've got to say Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, Pulisic, not available tonight. So there are four top players who couldn't play tonight. I think they've got to massively restructure. You know, they haven't got a keeper as it stands now. They've got a 38-year-old in goal who might be able to finish the season, but you don't want to go into the new season with a 38, 39-year-old. Kepa, is he good enough? Remains to be seen. We don't know. Everybody's raving about Rudiger, saying he's our number one centre-back in the Euros. I don't see what other people see. Christensen, I think, is a very talented player, but he lacks help. Azpilicueta coming to the end of his career. So I think in defence they need enforcement and at least two or three players.
OK, let's get some more reaction from Stamford Bridge. And we'll hear from a member of the Chelsea team. Here's Olivier Giroud with Tony O'Donoghue.
Olivier, would you say that the tie is beyond Chelsea at this point?
Excuse me?
Would you say that the tie is beyond Chelsea at this point? 3-0, first leg defeat, and you have to go over and try and get a miracle, basically?
You mean for the second leg? Yeah, obviously it's going to be difficult to go through, but you never know. Tonight, Bayern play a great football, you know, and they've been very efficient, especially second half. At the half-time, we had the feeling that we could match them. We had good opportunities also. But the thing is, as I said, you spend a lot of energy, you know, running after the ball when they have the ball. They play very well, you know, and the problem is when we get the ball back, we maybe miss some personality and energy, obviously, because you run a lot to get the ball back. So you always can improve, but I want to say tonight Bayern was too good for us. You have to be honest and let's go to Munich with pride, you know, and we will try to score and to win at least that game.
In the first half, though, I mean, you had a chance of Mason Mount across the ball. Nil all seemed like a positive half-time score in the hope that you could have improved in the second half.
Yeah, we had a few chances in first half. By the way, if I go a bit early on Mason's cross, I think I'm offside anyway. So, it was very close. But as I said, we had a good hope for this first half, but maybe a second one. I mean, when they score early in the second half, two goals in 3 minutes, after, you know, psychologically it was hard, you know. So after, you know, we just try to come back in again, but they were too strong, you know. So
it's going to be difficult. Jorginho will miss the second leg, Marcos Alonso obviously as well, so it really will be tough.
Yeah, it will, but you know, we without belief, you know, you can't do anything. So we will go there with our pride, you know. And
will it help you maybe concentrate on achieving a top four finish in the Premier League now?
No, we are talking about Champions League, so second leg, obviously it's going to be very difficult, but now we need to focus first on the Champions, on the Premier League, and we need to finish in the top four, you know, that's the target, and we need to put things right yeah, from Saturday and bounce back as soon as possible.
Olivier, thank you.
Okay, that's Olivier Giroud with Tony O'Donoghue. Just before we go, gentlemen, I just want to get your views on, it's a very topical thing, and particularly today, Tuesday, with the news from the Irish government recommending that the Ireland-Italy rugby match does not go ahead on the weekend after next. The coronavirus, I know it's very early to be talking about this, but do you feel that could threaten, say, the rest of the Champions League? Could it threaten Euro 2020?
Well, I suppose if a Six Nation fixture is at risk of being cancelled, the reasons you would cancel a fixture like that also apply to the Euros fixtures. It's like a sporting event is going to encourage or be the reason that there'll be mass movement of thousands, tens of thousands of people from area to area. And the Euros, of course, is being played in numerous areas. So to answer your question, without knowing the details or how things are going to go between now and then, you would have to say that there's serious conversations happening somewhere at the moment to see what is going to be the plan or how can they monitor it from here till the summer. Mm. And at what point do you have to make the responsible decision, the health-based decision, not the commercial decision or the sporting decisions, but how do you prioritise the health of everyone throughout Europe? And I don't know how you go about making that decision, but I would assume that's being discussed. Mm. It's got to be.
Well, I haven't seen anything official from UEFA or the host venues. What is there, 12 cities? Yeah. But that's you know, various different jurisdictions, governments. Yeah. You were talking here earlier on about, you know, could you play, as Inter Milan are doing on Thursday night, play the matches behind closed doors? Like, it would be absolutely ridiculous. But if you're talking about this deadly virus and health issue,
well, I think the
sport
health
comes second.
Yeah, absolutely, and the health of the sports people and the fans is paramount, and that's got to be first, and that's got to be the priority regarding Ireland Six Nations game. I suppose it's because the opponents are Italy, and the outbreak seems to be worst in Italy, in Europe at the moment. So, Inter Milan, as you said, play behind closed doors on Thursday. So there's no reason why it can't spread to other countries and maybe affect other countries as badly as Italy. So, fingers crossed that we do get it under control. We had a few cases in Germany where they put these people in quarantine and it seems to be pretty quiet and safe for now. But you obviously don't know, because I think the guy who brought it into Italy still hasn't been found. So you don't know how many people he's been in contact with. So we just have to cross our fingers. But, strictly speaking, there's no reason, if you call off a Six Nations game or play a Europa League game behind closed doors, there's no reason why it can't happen to a Champions League game or the Euros.
Yeah, well, the rugby situation is certainly a fluid one at the moment. I read some comments from an International Olympic Committee official today who said the IOC will make a call on the Japan Olympics in around May with 2 months to go. But look, it's just, as I say, a very fluid situation. That, though, is all we have time for on this edition of Soccer Social. My thanks to Richie and to Didi for joining me here in studio. We will see you all again soon. Good night.